In Hebrew, this scripture is called the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, or just the Akedah, the binding. Rabbi Telushkin, in his book Jewish Literacy, begins his entry on this passage noting this, quote, "The central event at the core of Christianity is God's willingness to sacrifice the man Christians believe to be his son for the sake of mankind. One of Judaism's central events is Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son for the sake of God," end quote. Rabbi Telushkin notes that God stays Abraham's hand, making those who label this passage the sacrifice of Isaac incorrect. He states that the punchline of the story is that, quote, "human sacrifice is exactly what God does not want." Rabbi Telushkin goes on to say this, quote, "brief biblical narrative leaves readers with a terrible dilemma. Judaism regards Abraham as the first Jew and a model of righteousness. Yet every Jew, indeed every person, knows that if he heard of a father setting out to sacrifice his child at God's request, he would want to see the man committed to an insane asylum," end quote. We know that human sacrifice was practiced in many cultures, including cultures described in the Bible. The king of Moab, who was fighting the Israelites, sacrificed his heir, his firstborn son, to the god of Moab as a burnt offering. You can find that in 2 Kings 3:27. Because of this, it has been suggested that this story of the near sacrifice of Isaac, or the binding of Isaac, is actually a story whereby God tests Abraham's willingness to give all to God, but makes it clear that God does not want human sacrifice. Telushkin points out that God's disavowal of the sacrifice of Isaac is, quote, "the first attack on child sacrifice in any literature," end quote. Abraham's willingness is to be praised, but his actions are not to be followed. Philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, who is famous for his expression, "the leap of faith," gave up his engagement to his love, Regina Olson, when he determined that sacrificing his love was necessary to prevent his being distracted from his Christian vocation. Shortly after breaking off the engagement, he wrote his book, Fear and Trembling, which explicates the enormous torment Abraham suffered during his trip to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. Theologian Martin Buber wrote this, quote, "Kierkegaard's analysis is sublimely to misunderstand God. God wants us to come to Him by means of the Reginas He has created, and not by renunciation of them," end quote. It is just the brief nature of the biblical narrative noted by Rabbi Telushkin, which creates the environment for what Jews call midrash. Far from the tendency of some Christians to seek to interpret the scripture literally, Jews engage in the imaginative practice of midrash to fully explore the implications of Holy Scripture. Donald McKim states that the term comes from the Hebrew darash, which means to inquire into. Midrash includes, quote, commentary and explanatory notes on the scriptures produced by Jewish sages from the period of the Babylonian exile until 1200 CE. One such sage, perhaps the most quoted, is Rashi. Robert Alter, who I have called the preeminent Jewish scholar of the Hebrew Bible, states that English translations that have sought to reorder the discussion between God and Abraham are misguided. He quotes the classical Midrash, followed by Rashi, as beautifully capturing the resonance of the order of the terms in original Hebrew. Quote, Rashi says, now there are a lot of pronouns here, but it's Abraham and God talking to each other as we read. Your son, he said to him. I have two sons, he said to him. You're only one, he said. This one is an only one to his mother, and this one is the only one to his mother. He said to him, whom you love? He said to him, I love both of them. He said to him, Isaac. Alter notes that the Hebrew word Yahid, which appears in the Masoretic text and is, quote, is translated only one, as an only son, is similar to the Hebrew word yadid, which means favored one. Some scholars want to substitute the word because of the inaccuracy of only son, considering Abraham also had Ishmael. Alter points out that Isaac is his only son by his wife Sarah, as suggested by Rashi's Midrash. Alter also points out that the similarity in the narrative where the Lord's messenger calls out to Abraham to stay his hand is similar to the narrative where the messenger calls out to Hagar, the slave girl of Sarah that we discussed last week. Alter points out that each of the sons faces death in the wilderness, one in the presence of his mother, the other in the presence of his father. In each case, an angel intervenes at the critical moment, referring to the child using the Hebrew word, reflecting fondness, na'ar, sometimes translated lad. Both the mother and the father are instructed to hold their hand on the lad. In each story, the lad is projected to become the progenitor of a great people. This story raises questions which challenge our understanding of the nature of God. It is not wrong to ask the question and explore what we believe in light of these questions. Do we believe that God tests us? This story certainly suggests that God does test us, or at the very least, that we are tested by the circumstances we encounter. When the culture of the time suggests we engage in human sacrifice, what does God do? In the end, He stays our hand and provides an alternative. The prohibition against human sacrifice was then codified in the 613 mitzvot, both in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. Furthermore, God does not withhold His only Son. While we can identify with the terrible sacrifice it would be for a man waiting into old age to have a son with his wife Sarah, when he's asked to kill that son, perhaps it also gives us some insight and to what it meant for God to come to earth in the form of His only Son, Jesus, and then die for us. While the faithfulness of Abraham is held up as a standard, see Hebrews 11, verse 17 and following, Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on Genesis, suggests this, quote, "In the end, our narrative is perhaps not about Abraham being found faithful. It's about God being found faithful." Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed,